Psalm 46. I didn't get the, if you would, please. Forgot all about it. Then I went to turn it on. I said, not here. All right. And we will just go ahead and read all 11 verses. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the sea, into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place, thank you, of tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, he cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this, another opportunity to stand for thee. Pray and ask that you guide and direct the message you've laid upon my heart. Blessed in the services, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Okay. Don't really know which way to go here, but I think I do. Amen. I know where my thought is, but as far as introduction goes, I was just, of course, we're going to be in the last part of that. We see here, the psalm here says, to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. And of course, Mr. Schofield there in his notes says Alamoth or soprano from Alma, a virgin. Some have thought that the Alamoth, quote, virgins were a temple choir singing antiphonally to the Sheminith or the male choir. And maybe some women singing toward the men, or maybe, I don't know, they singing toward each other. I don't know. But anyway, we see this psalm here. It was for the sons of Korah, and it is in three different sections, whether they were verses or whatever, how they sang the songs, but separated by the three Selahs that we see here in this scripture. Verse number 7, verse 11, and verse 3, 7, and then there in 11. Of course, we've been taught and we know that Selah is a pause in the song, the psalm, if you will, a time maybe of reflection, a time just to consider what we had just, you know, the verse of Scripture, the verse, if you will, of the psalm that we just looked at. So looking at the three different sections here, I'll bring my thought primarily out of the third section, we see here the first three verses here. It starts off, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. I was reading after some of the commentaries, just trying to maybe get a little bit of help, even though helped necessarily in the way that I wanted to go with the Lord laid upon my heart tonight. But I did notice that Mr. Spurgeon in the psalm, in his commentary on the Psalms, did mention some good things here about this first verse. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You know, and of course, it kind of goes back to some of the things that were said in Sunday school in the preaching hour this morning about him being our refuge and strength, but a very present. Not only, and it says not in a time of trouble there, but it says in trouble. So he is present in trouble, but then he went on to give emphasis to the fact of his presence in our troubles with the word very. And so what a blessing that that is. And of course, we sang several songs here, and of course, they all kind of alluded to the faith, to our faith. Our faith has found a resting place. How firm a foundation, of course, that going to our faith in the Word of God, and then finally living by faith, and then what knowing that the Lord ruleth over everything, and all of our worry is vain. And so we see that we can look here in Psalm 46, and if we can really get a hold of the truths found in the Word of God, found in this Psalm, our fears, if you will, should be cast away, and our faith should be strengthened here in this Psalm. And if we could learn, of course, Brother Roloff encouraged folks to study and actually memorize the Scripture, this would be a good one to learn and to memorize and to put to heart, especially those that have a tendency to fear, a tendency if you will, be weak in their faith, or a tendency to fear those things around them. And I thought interesting about the first three verses of this, and the fact that this trouble, potentially there in the second and third verse, would be great trouble. And I also found it interesting that the psalmist here, when he was penning these, penned things that several centuries later would be shown to John on the Isle of Patmos, some of the happenings there in the end times, and some of the things that's there. Verse number two, because of verse number one, we see the word therefore as we start with verse number two. And so we have to go back. It's because of verse number one. Because of God is our refuge and strength, because he is a very present help in trouble, therefore we will not fear. Or will not we fear? I keep wanting to say we will not, but it doesn't read it that way. We will, therefore will not we fear. And as I looked at the Hebrew there, in the Strong's, that will not is, the two words together, was translated, from low, 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 I think is what it was. And it just, simply means we're not going to, amen. No. In other words, no fear. Because God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we're not going to fear. Will not we fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. We're going to pause there. We're going to look and think about these first three verses. And like I said, John on the Isle of Patmos in the revelation given to him in Revelation 6, talking about these mountains. The way I read that is as if the mountains were removed and be carried into the midst of the sea and dropped. Well, what would that do? It caused a pretty serious tidal wave, wouldn't it? Amen. And so that goes into verse number three. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. That would definitely, if you dropped a mountain in the middle of the ocean, that would definitely cause the waters to be troubled, like a giant rock thrown into a steel lake. And you see the ripples. If you have a mountain dropped into the ocean, it would be quite a ripple, wouldn't it? Amen. And though the water thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, it would cause the water to swell. And in our time, I can't remember, can't recall the exact date, but in my lifetime, in our lifetime, several years ago over there in Indonesia, they had the earthquake and they had that great, tidal wave that, we've seen the videos and things that, just destruction, that happened there. And of course, in Japan as well, but the destruction of the water and I seen a, back in the 60s, in my Air Force training, in disaster preparedness, we had several blocks of training, and the first block of training was natural disasters and what we would do in those cases. And we watched film footage from the earthquake back in the 60s, I believe it was, up in Alaska. And just the tidal waves that come in because of that, and just moving ships so far into land, and the waters that that just is just you see footage of a tornado coming through or a hurricane, and then the tidal waves, and it's just amazing the force of nature, the force of God's hand. I've seen some footage of an Air Force base, one of the largest cargo planes that we there is in the Air Force inventory, is the C-5 Galaxy, at Tinker Air Force Base in Oklahoma. There was two of them sitting here, and a tornado picked up this C-5 Galaxy and just twisted it 180 degrees, causing the one wing to cut into the fuselage of the one sitting next to it. But the size and the mass of that plane, to know that that wind just turned it around. And of course, we've seen the destruction of the path of the tornado that went through here. But basically, what the psalmist is saying in the midst of all this, the Bible says, if the earth be removed, if we find ourselves standing on nothing, the earth out from underneath us, we shouldn't fear. Because God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. And then, like I said, I couldn't help but to think about the Revelation. In Revelation chapter 6, verse number 12, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places." That's going to happen one of these days. Of course, where we're at, if you're saved, I believe as these the tribulations and the seals, I didn't study out exactly where these fell. But part of this, I know that we are going to be in heaven, and this is what's going to fall upon the earth. But should we be here? God is our refuge, a very present help in trouble. Amen. And though the earth be removed, we shouldn't worry. Amen. We should know that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We see that also in Revelation 11:13-19. "And the same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to God of heaven." And verse 19, "And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail." So we see these earthquakes. 7,000 men fall, and the tenth part of a city fell just from an earthquake. 7,000 men. Again, we've seen footage of earthquakes and seen what the destruction, the earthquakes. "But though the earth be removed," the Bible tells us here in this psalm, "therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed." Because why? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And finally, here in as far as the earthquakes go, and us not fearing though the earth be removed, Revelation 16:17-18, "And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was," I forgot about this one. Okay, we're going through 21. "Not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found." We're talking about the mountains being removed. The mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And I looked that up, and that's about 75 pounds. So I've been hit with some hail balls about this big around. I got caught out on my bicycle one time when I was a boy. And I had to seek shelter just under the eave of a garage with one of my neighbors. You know, back up as close as I could of the wall just to escape hail. This, can you imagine a hail ball that's 75 pounds falling from the sky? I can't imagine that, but it's going to happen. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. So we're talking about mountains being removed. It's going to happen one of these days. Islands being removed and hail falling from the sky. I'm glad I'm not going to be a part of that. That's as in the great Armageddon and the things that's happening. But again, it struck me funny that here the psalmist wrote these things many, many, many years before these things were revealed to John on the Isle of Patmos. But though if we were to go through those things, we shouldn't fear, because God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And is therefore, because of that, though the mountains be carried away and into the midst of the sea, and though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, again going back, we shouldn't fear. And then you have the second verse, if you will, of this psalm. There is a river, hallelujah, amen. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. I like that phrase there. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Of course, we could have dealt with the refuge, because the refuge is in all three of these verses here. In fact, that same verse, that same phrase, the same sentence, I should say, in verse 7 is also found in the last verse of this psalm. In verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. But there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. And that also found in Revelation, I believe, chapter 20. Let's see, 21 or 22 here. I'd have to find that real quick because I didn't mark it. I meant to. There we go. 22 verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And so we see this river the psalmist wrote about. Again, it struck me interesting, the fact that the psalmist is writing about this river long before John ever wrote about it here in Revelation 22. And there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. So as all these things happened to the heathen, as they rage and the earth melts out from under them, we know as a child of God that God, the Lord of hosts, is with us. Hallelujah. And God and the God of Jacob is our refuge. We can find refuge in him. And then coming to the third verse, and this is where we're going to take our message from. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Verse number 8, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. And I'd like to bring my main thoughts out of verse number 10. Be still and know that I am God. as we preached back on February the 5th, right before our meeting, that God definitely was just in that whole Sunday, and don't take any credit for what He, I just a vessel, try to be mindful of what He had, and then the Lord used that message, I believe, to kind of get us standing still, if you will, on the brink, if you will, on that of something wonderful, amen, and on the brink of something wonderful. But if you'll remember that scripture there in Joshua chapter 3, that the priest's feet stood in Jordan, and the priests were commanded to go into Jordan and stand still. And of course, then it goes back up to the other verse about seeing the wonders on that the following day when all that happened, and the wonders that they did see that. But when I seen this, and actually Lisa and I was able to get away. Rebecca and Jacob had given us a night in a bed and breakfast for our Christmas present. I don't know. I enjoyed it last night, or night before last. Amen. But while we were there, they had a runner on a mantle, and it had this verse of scripture on it. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. They had part of that verse in. And I got to thinking about that, and that be still, and couldn't help but to think back to my message on February the 5th on standing still. And then as I looked at all those this afternoon several times in the scriptures, we see stand still seven times, I think it is. But of the five, it has something to do, and of course, here in Psalm 46, be still and know. What are we supposed to know? The fact that He is God, that I am God. And though in this psalm here, though the mountains, as we, you know, because He is our refuge, and because He can move mountains and will one of these days, as we read there in Revelation, move mountains and islands and cause great things to happen, when those things are happening around us, we can find that He is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, and that we shouldn't fear. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried. And through this whole psalm here, this again, the third verse, after that second Selah, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. So, as we look at these verses of Scripture about being still, each one of them gives us another aspect of what we find when we are still. In this day and hour that the hustle and bustle, just it seems like we just go and go and go and go, and lots of times just fail to take the time or make the time to be still. Amen. One of the things that I enjoyed about Friday night was I actually had an opportunity to just sit down for a minute and not have to think about nothing. It had been one of those weeks at work, I'm just telling you, and then Thursday and Friday was two of those days. I mean, it ended up just crazy. In fact, with people going home, being down several people in position-wise, and then having people go home sick, I just knew, and sure enough, it happened about 5:30 on Saturday morning. I got a phone call that says, I'm not going to be at work today. So much for my time to be still. But Friday night, driving down there, I had to put the work behind me and try to get to the place where I could actually sit down for a minute and not think about much. And too many times in just our lifestyle, the way that it is these days, there's not the time that we take. I knew a preacher that he in his study, and of course, I don't know how in the world he didn't have real bad eyesight, but one of the things in his Bible reading or whatever, he just found it, I don't know, a little comforting. He actually lit an oil lamp, and that's what he would read his Bible by. Kind of back in this one room, he had this oil lamp, and it was kind of right above his Bible. It was here, and his Bible here, and he would read his Bible. But again, I guess just the lower light and just separating himself from the family, he had a place that he could be still and know that He was God. And we need to know that and see that here. And of course, all in this psalm, especially the first several verses that we mentioned a minute ago, that we know that He is God. If we just slow down enough and we would allow God to work in our lives and to see Him. And like I said, back in the last time that I preached right before our meeting and when we stood on the brink of something wonderful, just to watch this, I think it allowed me and others to anticipate what God was going to do. And really, and then God done went and done it again. Amen. As Brother Blue or some of the other men would say. And I mean, he came through on the marathon, and Brother Steve testified on the fact that it was not, it was just kind of steady through the whole thing. You didn't have that. We didn't have to come in. We didn't have to stay Friday night till midnight, just getting that last, you know, $100 or that last whatever it was in before we went to meeting on Friday night. What a blessing that was. And just not having that load on you coming into meeting, and just having the testimony meeting on Wednesday, and what a blessing that is. And then those that were saved on Sunday, and seen, you know, things at my house that definitely was God moving throughout that week, and what a blessing that it was. But lots of times we just need to back away and just kind of settle down and put away the electronics. Make your children put away the electronics. And just say, oh, we're not, this is going to be an electronic free zone for about 5 hours or 3 hours this evening. Amen. And just open the Word of God and just start reading it. Whether you read it as a family, we've done that in the past, or whether each individual just gets their Bible and sits in the same room and reads for a while quietly, being still. When trouble and turmoil comes, and this is a world of trouble and turmoil, we heard, you know, Brother Hall in his message this morning, and that's where we are standing in Esther. I mean, right there. We're seeing, you know, we could potentially see all kinds, but if we should see those things, we need to be still and know that He is God. We need to know that He is our refuge and strength and a present help in trouble, a very present help in trouble. And because of that, we should not fear. Regardless of what might be happening around us, we should know that He is God. And I couldn't help but to go back that, excuse me, the first time that this was mentioned, and I alluded to it back in my message on February the 5th, I believe it was, in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 and 14. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He shall show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. So in Psalm 46:10, be still and know. And then here in Exodus 14:13, Moses told the people, stand still and see. So we got to be still. If we're still, we can know some things about God, that He is God. Amen. That He and we need to reflect upon the things of God. Lots of times we just allow our minds to be, and lots of times we're the ones putting it in front of us. And if we would just think upon, the Bible says that we're to think upon pure things. You know, how much more is pure than God is? Amen. And just to know that should the troubles and the trials come our way, if God be for us, who can be against us? The Bible also says God is on our side. We're a child of God. He is our Heavenly Father. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's with us all the time, like the Bible told us right there, a very present help in trouble. He's with us. Not only is He present, but He's very present. All right? I mean, He's with us before the trouble ever gets to us. And we need to remember that. But lots of times we forget it because of the hustle and bustle. We need to still be still and know that He's God. We need to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Of course, Brother Hall, in one of his points this morning, talking about that time and that time of salvation, that time that God deals with you, and know that He is that salvation. Of course, this is a salvation. In fact, the crossing of the Red Sea is a type of salvation in the Scriptures, a type of the enemy being behind you, a place in Egypt's, in the children of Israel's life where they were in bondage. And of course, that is a type of being in bondage to sin. We can apply it that way. And how that they were pressing in upon them and God was leading them out. And there would come a time that they were fearful because mountains on either side of them and the enemy behind them bearing down. They had been in slavery for those several hundred years. And Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And again, going back to Brother Hall's point this morning, if the Lord is dealing with you and has been dealing with you maybe through the week of revival and maybe since then, a time or two, today is the day, amen, of salvation. And be still. Too many times we just allow everything to get in our way. We don't seek God, or if we're trying to seek God, we just allow everything to get us distracted. But if you focus on what God is trying to, and you know, through the preaching of the Word of God, both in our meeting this morning and since then, maybe prior to our meeting, you focus on what God is trying to tell you when you come to the house of God, not let the things around you distract you. I find myself lots of times thinking about, I have to just be still and get focused back on what I'm here for. Get focused on listening to the Word of God. Get focused on what God's got for me in that message that day. Amen. So be still and know, stand still and see. If we're standing still, we can know some things and we can see some things. And the next time I find it in the Scripture is in Numbers chapter 9 and verse number 8. And Moses said unto them, stand still. Obviously, let me just turn back here and try to get the context, because I think, and I read it earlier, but some men come to Moses with an inquiry. Numbers chapter 9. Let's back up a little bit. Grab the context. Verse number 6. And there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, and that they could not keep the Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day. And those men said unto him, we are defiled by the dead body of a man. Wherefore we are kept back, that we may not offer an offering of the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel. And Moses said unto them, stand still, and I will hear what the Lord will command concerning you. So they come with this inquiry about being defiled by the dead body. Moses said, stand still, and I will hear, or I will inquire. So I will stand still, and I will hear. So we can be still and know, we can stand still and see, and we can stand still and hear. You know, again, you've got to be still. And like the song that the Isaacs and others have sang about standing still, it's hard to do. I in the past, I have gone to my mom's when my grandmother was living, you know, and depending on where I was at, I mean, it's about a 5-hour drive-ish from here. Other times I was farther away. But I get home and mom says, sit down, you've been driving, I know you're tired. Well, I sit down, but I can't be still, you know. I'm sat down for about 5 minutes and then I'm up trying to find what I can do for mom, because I haven't been there to do anything for her or for Nana when she was alive. And that's just, it's just hard, and it's just the way I'm geared. It's just hard for me. But if we will stand still, we may know some things. If we will be still, we may see some things. And if we stand still, we may hear some things. When we come to the house of God, we need to kind of put the things of this world aside and try to be still, at least within our own hearts, that we might get what God wants us to have. And so we see that there in Numbers chapter 8. The next time we see this is in Joshua chapter 3, verse 8. We mentioned that already. And thou shalt command the priest to bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And of course, they seen wonderful things. Because back up there in the earlier scripture, he said that you would see wonders the next day. And there in Joshua chapter 3. In verse number 5, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And I preached that message already. They stand still and you might see wonderful things. Amen. Of course, there in the end. And in 1 Samuel, and this is where Brother Steve is getting ready to go. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse number 7. It says, now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and your fathers. Of course, again, going back to today's men's Sunday school class, I really appreciated what was brought out there among the fact that at that juncture, what he was preaching on or teaching on today, that Israel had probably another opportunity to follow God and refuse the king. But they didn't. And he's going to get on to the next time. But the fact that of that is, here is Samuel. And he's telling them to stand still that he may reason. Too many times, and I think that this is very difficult with me, and lots of times, you know, it takes two people to argue, I've said before, and when one won't, the other one can't. Amen? Right. So this one's fussing, and if you fuss back, guess what? They're going to fuss. And if this one just fusses and you just smile, which makes them mad if I smile at them. Anyway, but and just kind of like this. And then finally, they can fuss, and you're just like, eventually they'll be quiet. But that's the only way that we're going to get anything reasoned out, is when somebody will just be still long enough and take the time to say, all right, this is the problem. We can work this thing out. Brother Hall said, there's no reason that two saved people can't sit down and reason together, reason some things out. But to do that, you've got to come together with a mindset that you're going to not be fussing, but you're going to stand still and reason. And so we see this here as Samuel did. Now, therefore, stand still that I may reason with you before the Lord. All right. But obviously, according to the Sunday school lesson this morning and men's Sunday school class, there was no reasoning with the children of Israel at that time. They had done made up their minds. Of course, they wanted the king. God gave them the king. And we know the rest of the story, and we're going to hear more of that in his Sunday school lesson. And then next time, finally, the final time that we see that is Job chapter 37. And verse number 14 says, hearken unto this, O Job, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Again, going back to the great and mighty God that we serve, the great and mighty God that is our Father. And he said, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Everybody's been to a place sometime, been out in nature, whether it's on a fish bank, a lake bank, river bank, whatever, fishing, or whether it's been on a trail up in the mountains, or even in your car up on the mountains, and you just pull off and maybe one of those little overlooks that you can just see some things, or maybe just in your backyard when the flowers start to bloom and you see the trees and just in that spring, and you just take a moment and you just back up and you look and you say, what a mighty, wonderful God that we serve, to give us this, his creation to enjoy and things like that, to consider the wondrous works of God. And from time to time, we need to stand back and we need to get, but it all comes to light in that same verse number 10 of chapter 46, Psalm 46. Why should we be still and know? Why should we stand still and see? Why should we stand still and hear? Why should we stand still and reason? Why should we stand still and consider? Well, it goes back to, again, the last part of verse number 10. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted among the earth. You know, God, if we will hear what he has to say, see what he has to show us, consider his wondrous works, and just know that he is God, then
we will exalt him for being God. Amen. And so he said he would be exalted among the heathen. I couldn't help but to see, go back to that revelation. I believe it was, chapter 6. It was chapter 11, verse 13. When the earthquake, at the same hour there's a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. There's a colon there. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. It's kind of a strange place, if you will. But of course, if you wasn't one of those 7,000 men that died, I guess you could give glory to God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But at the same time, if we'll just be still and just see what God has got to show us, and God has got us for us to hear and just consider the wondrous works of God, then he will be exalted in our lives. We will come in like that Wednesday night of our meeting and just praise him and thank him for who he is and what he's done for us. And too many times, again, we get so caught up in the hustle and bustle of what's going on around us, or we get to looking at of what I've done in my own strength, and we fail to give God the glory for just allowing us to get up, you know, and to go to work. I give him the glory that my knee is a little bit better. This afternoon I took some ibuprofen and put some ice on it, an ice pack on it all afternoon. And a lot of the pain that I was feeling earlier. But, you know, you don't think about it until, you know, you don't think about the particular parts of your body until they don't work no more. I've got a tooth that's reminded me. Brother Jim said, amen. But, you know, I got a half a tooth back here I need to get pulled. But when, from time to time, certain temperatures reminds me, hey, I need to get that thing taken care of. Don't think about it when you got all your teeth. When a tooth is broken or something gets out of joint, then you realize, you know, it's God that keeps you together. God keeps you going. And when everything is going, we need to exalt the Lord. We need to be thankful to the Lord. Because when a piece of your body just doesn't function the way it's supposed to, or pains you when you use it, then you get to understanding some things that you are not. In fact, sometimes I think maybe in his wisdom, God will just, you know, allow something like that to remind us that we in our own strength are very weak. But God in his strength is very great. And when we consider him. So be still and know. Be still and hear. Be still and see. Be still and reason. Be still and consider. That he might be exalted for who he is. And that's my message tonight. Amen. And so again, going back to the reminder in verse number 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And so but we need to be still and consider who he is and all that he is. And when I was in Mississippi, and I'd like to do it here sometime, I don't know, maybe as the Lord would lead. Some of them, it was kind of over their head, but back in the Bible Institute many years ago, and I enjoyed teaching it in Mississippi, in Sunday school hour, but elemental theology and just theology, you know, the doctrine of God, and then Christology and pneumatology, the doctrine of Christ and the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. But God is so big that there's just so much to consider. But when we just take a time that we can just sit back and consider him and all that he is and all that he's done for us, then he is exalted and will be exalted in our hearts and our lives. And so my message, my exhortation, I guess, is this week, whether it's tonight or sometime, or maybe you have one of those days that you want to pull your hair out. In fact, the other day I said, if I had hair to pull out, amen. And in fact, I said we need a room. It was one of those, and I walked into the shop, and some of them were sitting there at break. I said, we need a room that I can go and scream, you know, and maybe a punching bag, and maybe just, you know, something I can beat my head against. And then one of them, the other maintenance supervisor, spoke up and says, I go out there to the other shop, and I do that out there. I said, oh, okay, that's good to know. But but too many times we just get overwhelmed with the cares of this life. And if we'll just step back, like I had opportunity to on Friday night, praise the Lord, just step back and consider God, and consider all that He's done for us, and then we'll exalt Him for all that He is and all that He does. And we probably haven't even scratched the surface of it. But then again, it goes back to consider. And the more we take the time to learn of Him, then the more He will be exalted. And I know that's the will of God for us. One of the things that's the will of God for us is to be thankful and then to exalt Him for all that He is and all that He does. And that's my message tonight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, in this life that we live and this and the things that we deal with day by day, whether it's a job or family, young children, teenagers, those that are out of the house that pull our mind and our emotions away from Thee, I pray that we will make the time and take the time and, Lord, just be reminded to consider, just to be still, and to hear from You all that You would have us to hear from You, to see from You the things, Lord, that You would have us to see about You. Lord, the bottom line, Lord, that You might be exalted in our lives and exalted in the praises from our lips. And we'll thank You and we'll praise You. I ask and pray that You'll take the message, use it for Thy glory and for Thy honor. And I ask and pray in Jesus' name and for His sake. We'll just let them...